David Penn versus Veronica Harris and Melvin Jones.
Good morning, Your Honors.
Good evening.
Alfred White is to the plaintiff, David Penn. This is the plaintiff's appeal on the district court granting a motion for summary judgment against the plaintiff on a cause of action for malicious prosecution. Our position is that Mr. Penn fulfilled all the elements of the malicious prosecution allegation. He proved that the police did not have probable cause to arrest him. He also proved that the police, which was the defendant, were not entitled to absolute immunity. The situation involves some college students who were at a location at the school. It was cold outside. There was some banging on the windows. The police arrested David Penn and alleged that he had pushed a police officer. David Penn went to court in the state court, and the police filed a complaint attached to my a complaint alleging that he was committed bodily harm to one of the arresting police officers, a battery. In my brief, there's attached the complaint where the defendant signed saying that David Penn committed this battery against her. But yet still at our deposition, she admitted that she falsified the report. The state court dismissed SOL, stricken with leave to reinstate the charge against David Penn. Our position is that David Penn, he had a favorable termination of the state charges. And this court, in one of its cases, have stated that in order to...
Which case are you referring to, please?
I believe it's the Washington versus Somerville case, Your Honor.
What's that say? Do you have it, please? It's in your brief?
Yes, Your Honor.
It's referring to fine. Go ahead. Don't worry about it if it's in your brief.
And the court looked at Illinois law as far as favorable termination. A person does not have to go to trial in order to have a favorable termination. The favorable termination can be because, the favorable termination can be because that the state does not wish to go forward because there's a lacking of evidence, or there could be some possibly wrongdoing. In the state court, in the Illinois State Supreme Court case that the court referred to, it lists those items that allows that favorable termination be for other than go on to court on its merits. So therefore, we allege that there was a favorable termination for Mr. Penn. As to the probable cause, as to the immunity issue, the defendants claimed that they had immunity from prosecution. Immunity from prosecution is given to police officers and state prosecutors if they're not complaining witnesses. In this particular instance, one of the defendants, Veronica Harris, signed a document under oath as a complaining witness, and we stated that when she signed that document under oath and at her deposition that she was not truthfully signing this document. It was dishonesty. Therefore, because of this and because she's a complaining witness, she lacks the immunity that's granted to police officers and state prosecutors. Therefore, we would request the court remand this case back to the district level where Mr. Penn can pursue his malicious prosecution action.
Thank you, Counsel.
May it please the Court, Your Honor, Diane Potts, Assistant Attorney General for the defendants in this case, Melvin Jones and Veronica Harris. Briefly, Your Honor, as I explained in my brief, the district court was correct in granting the defendant's motion for summary judgment on the malicious prosecution claim. The plaintiff failed to establish two essential elements of such a claim under Illinois law. First, Penn failed to establish that the underlying criminal charges were terminated in his favor. What occurred was the state's attorney's office, at a request of Veronica Harris, struck with leave to reinstate the criminal charges. This is different than a nolo anali under Illinois law, in that the state's attorney's office is then free to again bring the criminal charges against Penn. The only evidence we have on this element is Harris's testimony that she made this request to the state's attorney's office because she did not want Penn to have a criminal record, and she felt he had already been punished for his conduct from the evening of December 10, 1998, and she didn't wish him to suffer further consequences of his actions. There's nothing in the evidence that demonstrates that Harris did not believe that Penn had committed the offense of battery against her or the offense of disorderly conduct. The burden is on the plaintiff, and the plaintiff must establish that the underlying criminal case was dismissed for reasons consistent with his innocence. He failed to do that. Second, the other essential element that's missing from the plaintiff's malicious prosecution case is the element of probable cause. The defendants did have probable cause to arrest Penn. Taking the facts as admitted by Penn, he was in a crowd of 300 angry students waiting outside to re-enter the dormitory following a fire alarm. My clients, Jones and Harris, were assigned with the difficult duty of keeping order of the 300 students and making sure that no one entered the building until it was clear that there was no danger to the students existing in that building. Penn began to shout obscenities at the officers and began to pound with a closed fist upon the pane of glass, separating the 300 students from the police officers. Other students began to follow suit and also began to yell obscenities and pound on the glass. Clearly, these facts demonstrate that the officers had probable cause at that point to arrest Penn for disorderly conduct. And as this court has held in the Biddle case, referred to in my brief, probable cause to arrest one on a closely related charge is a defense to a malicious prosecution claim. That's all I have, Your Honors. I would be happy to answer questions.
I'll take your honor.
Okay.
Arlington?
I'd ask the district court's decision be affirmed.
Thank you, Counsel. Right. Sir.
Please, the court. Your Honors, when you look at probable cause, and there are some cases quoted in this circuit, that you would look what a reasonable police officer would do considering the circumstances that were at hand. You had 300 students outside in the freezing cold. Practically all the students wanted to come inside. The officers did not use what would have been reasonable under the circumstances if you look at the totality of the cases, of the circumstances. Also, again, I refer back to the arrest report and the complaint that are attached to my appendix in the brief that Veronica Harris, under oath, admitted at her deposition that the facts in those arrest reports and in the misdemeanor complaint were not written by her, and that she just signed off on some facts. Therefore, she did not appear in court, not out of an act of mercy. She didn't appear in court because she would have had to, under oath, not give truthful facts about what had happened at that situation.
Thank you, counsel. Thank you, board. We'll take the case. Rise and proceed to case.